Hello, fellow law nerds. Welcome to another episode of Boom Lawyered, a Rewire News Group podcast hosted by the legal journalism team that isn't ready for two abortion cases this term. Just not ready. I'm Rewire News Group's editor-at-large, Imani Gandhi.
And I'm Jess Piekla, Rewire News Group's executive editor. Rewire News Group is the one and only home for expert repro journalism that inspires you to pace yourself through this Supreme Court season because we're going to need it. And the Boom Lawyered podcast is part of that mission. So a big thanks to our subscribers and a welcome to our new listeners. Okay, Imani, let's get into this. All right, here we are. The Supreme Court is set to hear oral arguments next week in FDA versus Alliance for Hippocratic Medicine, the case that will determine whether or not medication abortion access will be rolled back to levels we haven't seen since the Clinton and Obama years, Imani. I mean, look, those were good years broadly by comparison, but not when it comes to abortion and medication access.
No. And we've been covering this case for over a year now, and we've done multiple podcast episodes on it, which you should absolutely check out. So we're not going to go through all of the nuts and bolts today. We're not going to go through all the nuts and bolts. But today we're going to talk about what we're going to be looking for in oral arguments next week.
Okay, so the first thing we have to talk about is the role of science in this case, right? Because the attacks on medication abortion are rooted in junk science and disinformation. So here's what we know. Science tells us that mifepristone is wildly safe. So safe. Safer than pregnancy, that's for sure. The complication rates for medication abortion rates are low, very low. Like how low? Let me drop it.
Let me drop a beat on you. Jess coming in with the ones and twos, dropping bars.
Amazingly not on the threes and fives. The rate of major complications around medication abortion is 0.31 per 100 abortions. And we all know that I'm not good at math, but
did
that's low.
0.31?
I did. That's low, right?
Yeah, that's less than 1%. I'm not great at math either, but I'm pretty sure that's less than 1%.
And less than 1% seems pretty low?
Yes.
Okay. Another study analyzed data from more than 50,000 patients and concluded that the major complications are rare, occurring less than 0.25% of the time. That's comparable to the frequency of complications from colonoscopies. And, you know, we don't have a bunch of pro-life dentists challenging colonoscopies now, do we?
No, we don't.
I've got some more safety data for you, Imani.
Hit me.
According to a Times report that looked at the studies being cited in this lawsuit, abortion pills are about 95% effective, but 3-5% of patients need an additional procedure to terminate the pregnancy. But these aren't usually serious situations. These are due to just like the normal processes of terminating a pregnancy.
Right. Also, like when you're doing a medication abortion at home and you get more bleeding and cramping than you're used to with a regular menstrual cycle, you might be like, oh, no. And you go to the hospital and you're going to the hospital because of a, quote, complication. But they're going to tell you, oh, no, this is normal. This is fine. Go home. You'll be OK.
Come back a bit.
You know what I mean? So, yeah. But, you know, this hasn't stopped aunties from framing medication abortion as chemical abortion.
Clorox abortion,
crystal meth abortion, you know, that's super dangerous to women and girls, and then other people with uteruses, because you know the aunties don't give a shit about people who aren't women and girls who have uteruses.
Right.
It also has not stopped the anti-abortion junk scientists from wielding studies that later need to be retracted due to bias and unsound scientific methodologies about how Miffy is super, super dangerous. And we did an episode about this, and you should also definitely check out our TikTok series on these clowns.
Oh, yes.
Beige Baby Jesus has this great TikTok series going through all of the lies that these people like Ingrid Skop, Ingrid of the I'm not very good at research, Skop, those Skops.
But please publish my studies anyway.
Right. George Delgado, invented medication abortion reversal, which is not a thing that can happen. Our friend Priscilla Coleman.
You guys go way back.
For 10 to 15 years now, trying to link up abortion to mental health issues, suicide ideation, and the like. Not true. But these are people who are not well respected in the scientific community. Their studies have been debunked. Courts have even found their testimony to be unreliable in other lawsuits. But will the court even acknowledge that the lower court rulings were based in part on these junk science studies that, again, were retracted because they were biased and scientifically unsound? Is the court going to acknowledge that they were retracted? What do you think? Yes, please tell me something good.
Survey says no.
Oh, shit.
I mean, look, come on. This is like, this is Sam Alito's bread and butter, right? Mm-hmm. Like, when it comes to making up science to justify restrictions on reproductive autonomy, that's his whole jam. Yeah. So, in fact, I wouldn't be surprised if the question of the retracted studies comes up in oral arguments and Sam Alito uses it as an opportunity to somehow advance another persecution narrative from the right, right? Like, yeah. You forced us to retract our studies because of your mean scientific standards. Like,
because it's of wokeness.
Exactly. And to, like, just put a finer point on it, getting these kinds of studies retracted, it's not like writing a letter to the editor, right? Mm. The research community takes this stuff very seriously and does not want to be seen as politicized. So this is an area that is really messy for the research community. And so to get to the point where there were enough scientists willing to come forward and say, yeah, this methodology is not good and it's doing real harm in the public sphere, is a real momentous occasion and like a land shift in a lot of ways. But will it matter to the court? I don't know, man. I mean, I feel like this Supreme Court, these conservatives are two cases away from instituting the float test for all of us to determine whether we're witches or not, right? Like, yeah. It's bad.
Yeah, you should explain to our listeners who don't know what the float test is.
Sorry.
Bonkers.
The float test is junk science that was used in Indiana in the criminal prosecution and eventual conviction of Purvi Patel, a young woman who faced infanticide charges around self-terminating a pregnancy. And there were questions as to whether or not she produced a live birth or whether or not it was a stillbirth. And so a bunch of pro-life scientists came in and said, let's use the float test to determine it. And what's the float test? They took the baby's lungs, and if they float, then that is suggestive that they had taken a breath of oxygen and was therefore alive at the time of birth, even though really it's nonsense. It's debunked and it's junk science. But that didn't stop an Indiana Court of Appeals from trying to give that poor woman 20 years.
Yeah. Yeah. It's bad.
Truly, though, like and that we're joking about it, but it's really dead ass serious in terms of the threat that a really empowered attorney general feeling no fear of limitation or pushback from Republicans, Democrats or the Supreme Court. You know, what would an attorney general, Jonathan Mitchell, do under a new Republican administration? Try to ban abortion nationwide using the Comstock Act. A president could just reinterpret and enforce it through the Department of Justice, like the nightmare scenario I just described. Yep. Enforcing Comstock would impact abortion access in every state. And we really need to underscore that because lots of states in those that have been typically gerrymandered blue, right, have done what they can and sometimes then some to protect abortion access in the wake of Dobbs. Those efforts are threatened with an invigorated Comstock Act. And it would allow prosecuting women for possessing abortion pills, potentially. Like, it is the biggest, like, landmine out there policy-wise for abortion rights. And even though it's at the center of this case next week, we hear very little mention of it outside of you and I screaming from the rooftops about it.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's... I mean, this sounds terrible,
it's
right?
So
it's
bad.
Like a sword of Damocles that is hanging over our heads. So why aren't Democrats doing anything about it? That's what I don't understand.
Yeah, I don't either. And I mean, you know, I appreciate the carve out that you just gave for Senator Warren, but I'm going to say, like, that was a pretty weak warning shot that she has fired, right? This is what she told Susan Rinkinus at Jezebel. This is a quote from Senator Warren. Donald Trump and Republican extremists aren't shy about their plan to use the dormant Comstock Act of 1873 to ban abortion nationwide. All right, I'm just going to slide in and get out of the quote for a second to say it's not dormant, Liz, if it's before the Supreme Court right now.
Right.
All right, going back to the quote. No matter what Trump and Project 2025 might say, the Department of Justice has made clear that Comstock does not prevent the mailing of medication abortion. If the Supreme Court makes an extreme decision that finds otherwise, then Congress has a responsibility to protect Americans' reproductive health care and respond. What yeah, about okay. right now, Liz?
Okay. But why do Democrats need to wait for the Supreme Court to issue a ruling in this case in June? Right? Because that will have been a full 18 months since abortion rights advocates first started advocating for the repeal of this bill.
Yeah.
Right? Garnet Henderson, staff writer at Rewire News Group, and I did a Comstock episode. I think it was last May.
It was so long ago.
I think it was last May. So that's number one. Number two is Liz, my girl, please. Like, what are you talking about, quote, if the Supreme Court makes an extreme decision? Frankly, it would not be an extreme decision for the court to uphold a statute that you and your colleagues have not yet repealed.
Right?
Right? Like, as much as I loathe the fucking jamokes on this court, you can't put that on them. Am I wrong?
No. You're not wrong. And this has shades of the Dobbs leak, right? Mm-hmm. We had the Dobbs opinion leaked months before the actual opinion dropped. And when the actual opinion dropped, it was still pearl clutching and, you know, cheek slapping and my dear, oh my, what are we going to do about this?
Right.
Like, they're absolutely projecting what the future is. We need Democrats and progressives to get their heads out of the sand and stare at that, right? Mm-hmm. Biden needs to talk about executive actions he's willing to take, if any, to protect abortion access. I appreciate the funding increases. That's all historic and important. But we have more tools that we can avail ourselves with, and we are not. Mm-hmm. And please, for the love of all things good, let's stop pretending that codifying Roe is a thing that can happen first without Democrats controlling Congress and a filibuster in place, and second, as a thing that this Supreme Court would even respect to begin with.
Right.
Let alone third, that it wouldn't do shit for shit.
I mean, okay. We have to talk about standing.
No, I refuse.
She's like, I'm fucking out of here, man. Just briefly,
okay,
because we've both been yelling about standing a lot, right?
Yeah.
About how what these doctors are claiming amounts to just grievance standing.
Yeah. Yeah. I have hurt feelings standing. I feel some kind of way standing, right? So the Fifth Circuit ruled that this group of Christian doctors and dentists had standing to sue the FDA because essentially abortion makes them sad. And mifepristone causes complications that may land pregos in the emergency room where one of these Christian doctors will be forced to perform an abortion against their will, even though there are conscience clauses in place that prevent a person from having to do just that. So again, reality schmiality. Who needs it?
But for argument's sake, let's pretend it's a rural hospital and there's only one doctor on call. And that doctor happens to be a Dr. Jebediah McChristian. Right? Okay, so there's a possibility that some of those small percentage of cases where there's a further procedure needed to terminate the pregnancy, earlier in the episode, you said 3-5% of cases need a further procedure to terminate a pregnancy. Yeah. There's a possibility that some of those people will land in Jebediah's care. Like, he's the only fucking guy at this hospital. And he hates abortion.
Yeah.
And terminating that pregnancy would make him really sad, you guys. Really, really sad. And let's not forget, Jeb really likes pregnant women. He finds them, like James Ho on the Fifth Circuit,
yes.
He finds them aesthetically pleasing. So what about Jeb, Jess? What do you got to say to Jeb?
First of all, I actually know a Jebediah. Oh, my God. Second of all, rural hospitals still exist? No, that's terrible. It's a real crisis. And so is what the Fifth Circuit did here, which is finding that Jeb has standing based on declarations from doctors who were trained by anti-abortion advocacy organizations to testify in cases like this, right? Doctors like Ingrid, I'm not very good at research, Scop, who we've mentioned, right? Yep. She claimed that the FDA protocols expose women to a higher likelihood of undetected complications, right? So like the Fifth Circuit is going to be, the Fifth Circuit left us in a universe where Jeb's feelings matter, Imani, yeah. as a matter of law.
Right. And I'm going to be just a modic, I'm going to be fair to Ingrid Scop just a little bit.
Why?
Because I've read her, I read all these assholes declarations. Okay. I read her declaration, and one of the things she mentions is that pregnant people might not know how pregnant they are, so they might end up taking abortion pills outside of the period where they're supposed to take them, okay. and that might cause complications. And you know what, Ingrid? I agree that that might be a problem, but I have a question. Hmm. Where is the evidence of that, right? Mm-hmm. She's claiming that these FDA protocols expose people to higher likelihood of undetected serious complications. Dr. Delgado is claiming that. Dr. Donna Harrison, Dr. whatever the fuck their name is, Francis, like all of these other declarants who are cited for this proposition that the new mifepristone protocols are causing extra harm to these Christian doctors and dentists. Where is the evidence of that? There should be studies that, you know, we looked at a bunch of people who took medication abortion at home, and then they found out that 10% of them misjudged their gestational, you know, like who, where are the studies? We don't know that pregnant people are clueless as to how pregnant they are. All we have is the word of these dodgy doctors and their dodgy studies that end up being retracted because they're garbage.
Yeah. Yeah.
Where's the actual science? Where's the evidence, the proof? We're lawyers. We like evidence, proof, foundation, all of these things. Where is that here?
It doesn't exist, but it doesn't matter because it's going to be good enough for Sam Alito though. And that's what matters is the narrative here. Yeah. And narrative over facts and evidence will rule the day for the conservative legal movement.
Well, that's depressing because sorry, you know, when Jesus. I went to law school, I learned about evidence and facts yeah. and believing that the Supreme Court was principled and that constitutional law had some boundaries. And I'm learning lately that none of that is true.
Yeah.
And
no, we're all just like hanging on in this experiment of Sam Alito and bringing us back to the, I don't know, 16th century.
Seriously. Ugh, it's so awful. If you would like to talk to us about how awful any of this is, well, first of all, let me remind you that we're going to be live tweeting the crap out of these arguments. Yeah. I'm going to be live tweeting them. Jess is going to be live tweeting them. Garnet Henderson, our staff reporter and Comstock Act enthusiast, is going to be.
I hope she puts that in her bio.
Comstock Act enthusiast. Comstock Act detractor is what I'll call her. She'll be live tweeting them. So make sure that you follow us. And you should follow Rewire News Group on all of the things, particularly on TikTok,
yep.
because Black Baby, every time I say Black Baby Jesus, and it's Beige Baby Jesus, every time. Beige Baby Jesus, Christian, our resident TikTok master, truly. They're doing great content. And honestly, having done my first TikTok this week, I have so much more respect for what they do. Not that I didn't have respect initially, but now I actually understand how hard it is to do what they do. So please check out our TikTok. Totally. We're going to have a reaction podcast next Tuesday afternoon after the oral arguments. We're going to get on the horn and just tell you what happened. It's probably going to be a lot of drinking, a little bit of crying, and maybe some foot massages. I don't know.
This is all news to me.
Drinking and crying and foot massages. You love those three things.
I do.
So stay tuned, and what are we going to do, Jess?
We are going to see you on the tubes, folks. Abortion's back at the court, and so are we, baby.
Yeehaw!